In Acts chapter 4, we're going to look at this message for 2 weeks in a row. I think I can finish it 2 weeks. Meant for it to be a 1 week message, but it worked out to where it's going to have to be two, because I have about 5 pages of notes here. We're going to talk about the spiritual house of God and the spiritual house of Jesus Christ. That it is the foundation and cornerstone, or that he is the foundation and cornerstone of these churches, of the spiritual houses. In Acts chapter 4, verse 10, the Lord said, "Be it known unto all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." Verse 11, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby which we must be saved." This is Peter speaking. Peter and John, we know the story here. If you've ever read this chapter, you know that Peter and John was persecuted mightily in this area before this council and in this area which they were in. So Peter is speaking when he's speaking to the Jewish council here. "This man, Jesus, whom you crucified, is not dead," he said. "You may have crucified him, you may want him to be dead, but he is not. He's on the right hand of the Father on high. And not only is he not dead, he's risen from the dead and is the chief cornerstone of God's spiritual house. And it's the foundation of that house also. And there is no salvation outside of him," Peter wrote. That's not me. That's Peter said that. There's salvation in none other. Just him. Peter went on to say that there's not salvation in any other name, whether it be by works, baptism, church membership, or any other source that man can imagine. Only in Jesus Christ can one be saved. God's spiritual house, which is the church, was founded by Jesus Christ. We'll turn to Ephesians 1. He founded it while he was here on earth. It didn't start in Acts 2. It's not a universal visible church. He started a local New Testament church at Jerusalem. Started on the mountaintop. We find it again in Jerusalem. Prophecy says he would do that. But Jesus Christ started and he continues through the sovereign hand of God to be the head of that church, the foundation of the church, and the chief cornerstone of that church. He's like, "I have a lot to do." Think about that. Jesus has a lot to do too, doesn't he? God does everything out of his sovereign will as he chooses. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. "In whom also we have obtained the inheritance." Listen. "Being predestinated according to the purpose of him." Listen. "Who worketh all things." Listen. "After the counsel of his own will." There's a whole lot in there. A whole lot was just said. We're going to look at some of that as we go throughout this message. We're going to look inside of God's spiritual house. That's on this earth called the church. That was founded by, through, and on Jesus Christ. We're going to look at different parts of the church. And we're going to look how God dealt with it, and how Jesus dealt with it in the next 2 weeks. So here's our first point. If you will, turn to Matthew 16, 18. You cannot start talking about the church without going back to Matthew 16, 18. So our first point is, let us look at the stone and the foundation of the church. What Peter said over here in Acts chapter 4, that he is the chief cornerstone of the church, of the spiritual house, which is the Church of Jesus Christ. Why is it called a spiritual house? It's called a spiritual house because we are spiritual. And we are the church. This building isn't the church. This is nothing but an empty building. We can meet out in the parking lot. We can meet over here under the trees. We can meet out in the park. We can meet at Larry's house, my house, or anybody else's house, and it's still the church, isn't it? Because we are the house. And we are spiritual because we are saved and we are children of God and we have the Holy Spirit in us because we are saved. Matthew wrote, and Jesus said, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So the Lord says, upon this rock I'll build my church. What rock? We're going to look at this because there's two rocks mentioned here. First, Peter's rock. And second, Jesus' rock. I almost had sneeze. Jesus' rock. But they're different rocks. When you look up the Greek words, you find out there's two different rocks here. A lot of people say, well, Lord founded the church on Peter. He did not. Jesus Christ did not found the church on any man outside of himself. He is the only one that can be the foundation of the church. He is all things to us, isn't he? Peter's just a man. I'm just a man. You men are just men. You women are just women. You kids are just kids. That's what we are. We're just people. We are no more, no less than what God hath made us. Jesus Christ is the rock which the church was founded. The Greek word is Petra. And the word Petra means a mass of rock. It means a mass of a rock. And that's who Jesus is. Because that's where the church was actually founded on when he said upon this Petra, I will build my church. Large enough, strong enough, and massive enough that it can be the only thing that is a solid foundation and strong enough foundation to last till Jesus returns. The only way that the church could survive 2,000 plus years is it's built upon Jesus. It's his church. He's the head of it. So he said that he's the chief cornerstone of it. So he's the foundation and he's the chief cornerstone that holds it together. How else can Jesus promise that the church that the gates of hell should not prevail against it? Is Peter strong enough to keep the gates of hell from prevailing? No. Only Jesus Christ can keep the gates of hell from prevailing. Second, Peter, you look his name up, it's almost like Petra, isn't it? It's called Petros, P-E-T-R-O-S. You know what it means in the Greek? A piece of a rock. He's no massive rock. He's just a pebble. Just a small pebble. That's all we all are. We are all Christians. We are all just a small piece of the rock. Nobody's special. Nobody's grand. Nobody's large. Nobody's powerful. Nobody's the head of anything. We're simply just a part, a building block in the spiritual house of God. So while Peter's just a piece of a rock, a piece of the massive rock of Jesus, that is the building of upon the foundation that is the massive rock. Second, the church is a superstructure. When he talks in Matthew 16:18, he said, I'll build my church. He means he would build it up. He would build it into a superstructure, not one church in Jerusalem, although it was big. My history tells me it was between 25 and 50,000 people there in that church. Had to be pretty big, didn't it? I mean, what happened? We found 120 in Acts chapter 1. Oh, that's before they say the church was founded in Acts chapter 2. It was already in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit empowered the church, we found, 5,000, I believe it is, saved. And then we found more thousands that were saved. It had to be. And all of them that were saved and made part of the church wasn't recorded in the Word of God. So it was a massive church, wasn't it? Not buildings. They met outside. Most of them out here lived together. They eat together. They did everything together. So the superstructure built into is the church at Jerusalem, church at Antioch, church at Philippi, church at Ephesus, church at Corinth. We can go on through all the different churches you find over Acts. In fact, if you want to learn more about the churches, study Acts. It's got a lot of churches in it, and a lot of them that started there. A lot of people believe that church at Philippi started in Acts chapter 16 after Philippian jailer was saved. And his family and Lydia's family got together and they started the church out of it. If we will, let's turn it over to Psalms chapter 118. So we see the church building into a superstructure, didn't we? Jerusalem, Antioch, Corinth, Philippi. And go on down the line. On down to different nations, different parts of the world, and all of a sudden we find them coming over, some of the members coming over on the ships. And here comes Brother Clark, settles in Rhode Island, starts the first church in the United States of America. I know there's one before him, Brother William, but he wasn't the one that started the actual first Baptist. In Psalms chapter 118, and now we got the Sovereign Grace Mystery of that church in Texarkana. We have helped start churches through our mission support. In Psalms 118, verse 22, says, the stone which the builder refused, it's become the headstone of the corner. Wow. The stone that they refused is Jesus Christ. Remember, they refused him. They wanted him crucified. They wanted him dead. Because he tormented them. He tormented them because he's the Son of God. He's the actual Messiah they were looking for. And here we are, more than 2,000 years since they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, and the vast majority of Jews still don't believe in Jesus Christ. They just use him over there in Israel to make money. In the Holy Land. I'm not criticizing the Jews. I'm just telling the truth. They crucified the Lord, along with the Roman government. The Lord continues his revelation in verse 23 when he says, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. It is, isn't it? This is all the Lord's doing. The massive superstructure built upon the rock of Jesus as the foundation, and Jesus as the cornerstone of the foundation. God has kept it all together. We've been studying on Wednesday night about the church. We just went to a church at Samaria and Smyrna, and look, that's the church that represents persecution of the Lord's churches. All the way into the 1700s, from 100 AD to about 120 or whatever, 115 up to the early 1700s. When churches were persecuted. And you wonder, well, why were they persecuted? Why didn't they just surrender? That's what people do today. They just surrender to the world. Oh, you hate this about the Word of God? Fine. We'll change it. We'll change it all. We just won't remember it. We just won't care about it anymore. It's okay. Them people didn't do that. You know what they did? They were martyred. Like Jesus was martyred. They were martyred. In horrible ways. As I said when we were looking at that church, I was preaching, some of these people wrote in Lord. Why would they wrote in Lord? Animals like Lord, so they'd pick them up and throw them out to the lions. A lot. Lions would eat them. While they were still alive. Heartless people. Calls themselves Christians, but they're not Christians. Churches don't do that. Christians don't do that. Christians are loving people, or they should be. Churches are loving people, or they should be. If they're standing in the will of God, they are. But what... all of this, that them refusing the stone and crucifying him was the Lord's will, wasn't it? That's the work of God, wasn't it? Read Isaiah 53. Just like everything that's happened to the church through history is God's will. The fact you're saved today is God's will. The fact that you are part of this church is God's will. The fact that you have any understanding, wisdom, or knowledge of the Word of God is God's will. Our God is sovereign. He controls everything. Even his spiritual house. This is his spiritual house. Other churches are spiritual houses. They crucified our Savior. They crucified our foundation. They crucified our cornerstone. But they didn't keep him down, did they? After 3 days and nights in that tomb, his body laid, his spirit wasn't there. He rose from the grave. Sure did. And a new glorified body. Totally different what he had. He rose. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, he rose up into the heavens after being seen of over 500 people. And when he rose up into the heavens, they saw him until he went to clouds. And he disappeared. When he got to heaven, he sat on the right hand of God, his rightful seat. The Son of Man has a rightful seat beside the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God of God. He is God's Son. And then he tells us in Acts chapter 11, he says, Acts chapter 14, I believe it is. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Wouldn't so, I would tell you. Where is that place? Well, we'll find out soon. It's right by the Lord, I believe. Don't know where it is, but I'm just saying we're always going to be close to the Lord. You know why? Because he's the Son of God. And you know why? We are the children of God also. because we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you will. In verse 18 and 28, we read these two scriptures. But now has God set every member, now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body, that's the church, as it pleased him. Don't miss that last part of that, folks. First, God set them there. Second, God set them there as he pleased him. Not everybody's not. Not everyone's an heir. Not everyone's a pastor. Not everyone's a deacon. Not everyone is a clerk or a treasurer. Not everyone is a song leader. I can promise you that. Verse 28. And God set some of the church first apostles. Who was the first member of the Lord's church? Apostles. Who did he call out first? Apostles. Secondary, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, help, government, diversities of tongues. The Lord did all of that. It's his church. He bought and paid for us as a church and as a believer on that cross. When Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God, you can count on, you are exactly what you are by the grace of God. We are not self-made. As the Lord told us, I believe it's in Romans 12, maybe 3 or somewhere, I believe, I'm just thinking. It says, for we are not to think more of ourselves than we ought to. We're nobodies. Paul was nobody. Spurgeon was nobody. Except for what God had made. Exactly what God has made us. Problem is, some men think too much of themselves. We shouldn't think much of ourselves when we ought to. How should we think about ourselves? We ought to be pretty humble about that thinking, shouldn't we? When the Apostle Paul can get to the end of his life and he said all that he did and say, I am what I am by the grace of God. Grace was given to me. It wasn't wasted. I worked harder than the rest of them. But it was all still by grace. Well, that's powerful. That's a powerful message. Matthew chapter 21, if you will. So, no matter what it is in the Lord's spiritual houses, Jesus made it that way. God made it all. This church is only here because of God, because of Jesus. This church is only sustained because of God and because of Jesus. And this church will only sustain itself by the grace of God and the power of Jesus. Men sometimes worry. I do. You know, churches may not know this, but pastors love their churches. You just don't know how much a pastor will love his church. You just ask any of them. And one thing most men worry about, Brother Henson, been there a long time, wouldn't leave for nothing in the world. Has had opportunities to leave. He wouldn't do it. Go back home to his home church. He wouldn't do it. Stay down for a word. Brother Wilson, other pastors, me, I've been here, you know, it's almost 21 years now. We worry about what's going to happen to the churches when we're gone. It breaks our heart to think about it because they are like a pastor today. And it does concern us what's going to happen to these churches. Brother Hammond, it did. He told me many times, Brother Randy, I'm afraid when I leave this church, that's when he hung in like he did. Even in his dementia, when he And he was preaching the same message over and over and over. Because he couldn't remember he preached already. He said, I can't leave, Randy. He said, I don't know what's going to this church. Well, we do know now, don't we? It disbanded. That was God's will too, wasn't it? Matthew chapter 21. These men of the council, back in Acts chapter 4, evidently fail to understand about whom they were speaking. They crucified him. You think they're ever going to admit that he was the Messiah? Do you think they're ever going to admit that they crucified the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods, the King of Kings, our Savior? Not a chance. Unless God inconvenience and saves their souls and brings it to their hearts. He hasn't done that yet. He will. The days are coming when he's going to use Israel once again. Matthew chapter 21, verse 42. Jesus said unto them, did you ever read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, he said. And it is marvelous. It is, isn't it? If you cannot stand back and look at what I'm preaching about, I've worked hard on this message. If you cannot stand back and look at what I'm talking about and preaching about as far as God's spiritual house, see how Jesus is so important to us. How that prophecy was spoken of and prophecy was fulfilled. And be amazed. You got a problem. I'm amazed. I'm amazed that one single church still exists today. I'm amazed that God had already destroyed this earth like he did before when he flooded the earth and killed everybody on it except for those in the ark. Brought the mountains down and flooded the earth. Killed everything on it except for those in the ark. It is marvelous in our eyes, isn't it? Buildings built on men are simply cheap, thrown together, and built on sand. Nobody knows how to build a church. All of these organizations call themselves churches today are nothing but dens of Satan, started and built upon sand. They can't even recognize Jesus Christ as Savior without adding something they do to be saved. Hey, sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, and have no idea what they're singing. Because they turn around and tell you that salvation is by some kind of work. Isaiah 28. Yeah. I'm going to get to my second point and quit. We may have to take this into a third week. That's okay. We'll do what we have to. Jews these Jews and this world has been warned. Lost people have been warned. These people that's raping, murdering, stealing, these people that are just plain lost have been warned. There's two roads. When we die, we will travel one of these two roads. We'll either be on the wide road that leads to the center of this earth, which is hell, or the narrow road which leads to heaven. Listen to Isaiah here as he writes in chapter 26, verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God. Not this saith the pastor, not this saith Randy Johnson, not this saith Larry Millett or Brother Medic or Brother Frank, this saith the Lord our God. Not even saith this church. This saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth shall not make haste. Any doubt who the stone is? Any doubt who the foundation of the church is? Well, there's a whole lot of people that have that doubt. They just cannot admit that the church was founded on Jesus because they refuse to believe that Jesus started the church. He built the spiritual house. We're just blessed to be part of that super. The Lord said, if you believe, don't make haste. You don't think the church is important? Don't make haste. You don't think the Savior is important? Don't make haste. Romans chapter 9. I have two more passages of Scripture, and I'll end this message for this morning, and we'll pick up next Sunday, hopefully finish it. And Romans chapter 9, verse 33. Listen to the Lord our God again as he writes these words. As it is written, that means written in the Old Testament, prophesied, also repeated in the New Testament, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone. Why is Jesus a stumbling stone? Because nobody believes on him. The Jews didn't believe he was the Messiah. He's their stumbling stone. Anybody that doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior, he's a stumbling stone to their works. So they're trying to get to heaven. If you're trying to get to heaven, you need to stop. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, or else he's a stumbling stone. And the rock of offense. Yeah. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Are you ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you ashamed of this church? Are you ashamed of the foundation? Do you even care? There's people in this world right now, people right here in this nation that watch this video. You know why they watch it? Because they can't go to church. How blessed we are that we're still able to come to the Lord's house. Because we're not ashamed to be a part of God's church. The body of Christ, the spiritual house of God. Ephesians chapter 2, that'd be our last scripture. Passage of scripture. I got several scriptures. Paul wrote this to the church at Ephesus. Remember the church at Ephesus? We studied about it in the seven churches. It's the first one, wasn't it? Remember what they did? Church. Paul founded this church. Remember what that church did in Revelation? Lord said, you've done many wonderful things. I don't doubt that. You know, a church will go strong if they have a good, strong pastor. And they did. They had Apostle Paul as a pastor. But he wasn't always there. And before the end, they left their first love. Lord said, even though you've done all these wonderful things, I have something against you. It says somewhat, but somewhat was added by the translator. Lord didn't have somewhat against them. He was against them. So much so, he removed the candlestick if they didn't repent. And there's no record they ever did. Breaks my heart just to hear those words. I hope they did. There's no record of it, but I hope they did. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 through 22, it says, for through him, that is Jesus, for through Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners. He's speaking to the church here. You remember that church, you're no longer stranger, foreigner. But fellow citizens, I'm sorry, I almost went cuckoo there. Fellow citizens with the saints. With the saints. That's you. That's me. We're saints. We're fellow citizens together. We're not strangers. We're not foreigners. We're getting into this more next week. And the household of God. Church is called many things, isn't it? One of them is the household of God. You are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Ah, there they go. See, it was built upon these men. No, it wasn't. Because their ministries were built on what foundation? Jesus. The first foundation was Jesus. The rock was Jesus. Don't ever let people fool you. Don't ever let people take things out of context and make something that's not. The church was not founded upon Peter. It wasn't founded upon the apostles. It wasn't founded upon the prophets. Didn't the Lord tell us in 1 Corinthians 12 that the first members of that foundation were apostles and then prophets? They built upon the foundation of Jesus. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The strength of the church is the foundation and the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. In whom all the building is fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together. I'm sorry, for a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are built together for an habitation of God. How? How? Through the Holy Spirit. His power, his grace, his convictions, his bringing the election of God to you, and what God had for you and your life. To be a Christian and making you a Christian, causing you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on him as your Savior, and then coming to the house of God and becoming a member of the Lord's spiritual house. We'll look into this a little bit next week. I have a lot more about this scripture. So next week we will start with the builder of the building or the spiritual house. We know the foundation. Now we're going to look at the building of it. Let's all stand and turn to chapter 212. If I have too many things to do, they kind of run together, you know what I mean? Number 212. Click that too fast, this old computer just ain't that bad. Let's just sing until I stop, okay? Start on the first.